fingers again,
Tell me.
okay? And I'm a, this is where I'm calling it. I'll definitely call it ESPN here on this, or not even ESPN. I'll call out any of these commentators, any of these analysts, anybody that you hear on Fox Sports, NBC Sports, ESPN, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not a former professional in the sport that you are covering, in no way, shape, or form do I feel that you have the right to criticize or pick apart any of these athletes. Now, if you want to talk about, like, you know, the statistics of the game and the numbers and the facts of what happened, go for it. It's your job. But if I hear what I do, and I have a roommate, he'll attest to this all day.
Right.
There are so many analysts out there that are saying, and again, we'll just use them just because it's the final. Well, you know what LeBron James should do? Shut up. You don't know what LeBron James should do. You don't know what's going on in his head. You don't know what he's going through that day. He might be having a bad day. His wife could have yelled at him before leaving the hotel that day. You don't know. So don't tell me what LeBron James should do or he shouldn't do. Shut up. Just, you know, tell me what his numbers were. What were his stats? Where is he, you know, where is he at? What's his, you know, what is his true ability? You know, where's the gap, you know, that he should maybe close? Don't tell me what he should or shouldn't do, because you don't know. You've never been there. Now, for the record, if somebody like Shaquille O'Neal or Charles Barkley or, you know, or any of those guys are saying, you know what LeBron James should do, I'm going to listen to them all day. They've been there.
Really?
They've gone through it.
That's interesting.
You know, but if I have, you know, any of these other analysts or commentators that are just talking about, oh, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, or I'm really disappointed in the fact that they didn't perform it. You don't know. You don't know what they're going through. You know, I save your opinion, bro. I don't need it
right. Because
you don't know. That's the other
thing.
Oh
boy.
Is, you know,
yeah, you did open a big can of worms.
I yell at my television. Skip Bayless. Shut your
yeah.
mouth, bro.
There it
you
is.
Really want to
yeah, definitely.
Just pat up.
Yeah.
Pat up. You know, you listen, kid. You want to talk about, like, the defensive line of the Denver Broncos and what they should, or the Carolina Panthers? Because he was picking apart the Carolina Panthers and their offensive line protecting Cam Newton.
Right.
Skip Bayless, I would pay to see you put on pads for 60 seconds, and then you tell me what they should or shouldn't do. I bet you shut your mouth then. That's what I try so hard, is to expose, even though people might have failed or maybe didn't reach their goal, that doesn't mean they're any less of an athlete. You need to take that defeat, use it as motivation, and become better than what you were. Because that's the number one way to learn, is through defeat and mistakes.
Right.
Not through success.
Absolutely. And, you know,
and I dropped the mic. I'm done.
No, that was great. You know, a lot of people, you know, share your perspective and views. Just a quick question before I respond to that. Do you have the same mentality about, you know, coaches and general managers who are successful in the game that have never played? Like, for example, Greg Popovich, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history, never played dribble basketball.
Yeah, see that, you know, Pop is unique, though, because the thing about Greg Popovich, if you actually watch, see, he's a strategy guy.
Right.
Right? He plays by the numbers. He, you know, what he should do is the guy should run for president because
yeah.
he knows exactly what to say and when to say it. So Popovich is one of those guys where he is, you know, again, I'll reiterate again, he's a strategist. He's a by-the-numbers individual,
mm-hmm.
and he knows what the strengths and weaknesses are of the individuals on his team. So somebody like Tim Duncan, right? You know, he knows, you know, how to utilize, you know, his strength. So he uses them in the paint all day long. He's not talking about, well, he should be taking more 3-point shots. No, he shouldn't. The guy's 7 foot and forever, or 6 foot and forever. You know, use him for what he's good for, and that's what he does. And that's why I like guys like that, because they don't run their mouth. Now, guys like Steve Kerr, when you see a guy like Steve Kerr in a press conference, you see the emotion coming out of him.
Right.
Because he knows what it was like when he was playing with Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls back then in the 90s. He knew what they were going through. So you'll see him turn red in the face. You'll see him, you know, leaning forward and getting all froggy on these interviews, trying to hold himself back because he's been there. He's done it. He's seen it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's a really good question on that.
Eric Spoelstra is another one. You know, he's right there next to you in Miami. He's been such a great coach. Never played a dribble from the Philippines, you know. Understandably groomed under Pat Riley, the godfather of basketball. That's a blessing, about as great a blessing as you can ask for, you know, basketball standpoint.
I'm gonna respectfully disagree with you. The godfather of basketball is Phil Jackson.
Oh, my God. Well, here's why I say it's Pat Riley. Because he won championships as a player, all right, as a coach, and as an executive. Phil Jackson's just missing that third one. I mean, Pat Riley's won at all levels. And, you know, if you remember back in 06, he came to that team midseason, fires, you know, Stan Van Gundy, midseason, took over that team. They wound up winning a championship that year. I mean, Pat Riley, he's just, from what I've seen, what I hear, the clips that I hear from him, the documentaries, I've read about him a lot. I mean, he's just a great motivator. He knows what to say, when to say to guys. Sometimes he won't say anything. Guys will just know. His timing is impeccable. And, you know, it's his way or the highway. That's what I really love about him, because he's done it at every single level. And that's why I really respect about him. Because that's, I think, a reason LeBron wanted to leave, is because of, you know, Pat Riley's power, and we see the power that he has in Cleveland. Now, again, I'm going back to your point about people commenting on these professional athletes. For me, when I look at, you know, the Skip Bayless of the world, the Stephen A. Smiths of the world, these guys, I agree with you when they start talking about generalizations. You know, when they say, oh, the pressure just got to him, or, you know, he looked mentally weaker, or this team just wanted it more than that team. You know, things like that, I completely agree with you, because you really don't know. Because some guys have different body languages for different feelings and different emotions, you know. Somebody who may be mentally weak and showcase a certain type of body language may be completely different from another player. From what I'm seeing is these guys have over 20, 30, 40 years of covering professional teams. You know, being on the field, being on the court, all access, courtside, you know, talking to coaches, talking to players. So that's where I kind of have a little bit of more respect factor for them and what they have to say, because they go back to history and they bring back knowledge about the old days. Like, for example, Skip Bayless would always talk about how the Dallas Cowboys used to be when they won 3 Super Bowls with Jim Johnson and, you know, with Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith and all these guys. He would be stories because he was in there and he was covering them. You don't give him credit for that at all?
The credit where I will give a guy, again, I was just picking on him for a minute because I got my opinion on Stephen A. too. there are times where guys like Stephen A. and Skip Bayless and stuff like that, they're very emotional guys, and they lay it out, they, you know, heart on their sleeve type of broadcast.
Right.
But the one thing that I will tell you is you're right. When they do go back into the history books, when they talk about the Dallas Cowboys and what they used to do, or what the L.A. Lakers used to do, mm-hmm. those are facts that cannot be argued. You cannot argue yesterday. You know what happened yesterday? It was fact. You know, this is what happened. You can't prove it wrong. You can't dissect it any more than what it is. But when you talk about the woulda, coulda, shouldas of later tonight or tomorrow or next month or next year, you have no idea, you know? Right. So don't be so decisive in your analysis. You should give yourself some wiggle room. I love it when they're wrong. And I'm going to tell you what.
Right.
When they're correct, Oh my God. Oh, I told you. I told you this.
It's over. The ego is just too big.
But when they're wrong,
wow.
No one's...